Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as, not as always, Perry is luckily at Lambeau Field today, which is very exciting why she's here. Joined by Jen Curtin. You probably follow her on Blue Sky or Twitter if you're still on Twitter. Always a fun time talking Packers with her. Thanks so much for joining me and for doing this a second time because we didn't hit record the first 5 minutes of the last time. So appreciate you being a trooper with me while I am without my other half, Perry Goldstein, who got to see a really, really good game at Lambeau Field today.
Yeah, we're all just caught up in the excitement of of getting such a big win that the fans wanted so badly.
Yeah, even StreamYard is so excited that it's just not actually recording for us. But thankfully, we got it figured out. It's working now. We kind of, you know, talked about it already. Didn't record that part. So let's go through it again. But what kind of win does, you know, does this do for the Packers? 38-10, very convincing win, of course, against a team that didn't have Brock Purdy, didn't have Nick Bosa, didn't have Trent Williams, but historically, you know, has bounced them out of the playoffs. So for all the success they've had against this team in the regular season, still feels good to get another one and, you know, potentially kind of diminish their 49ers chances of making the playoffs even further.
Yeah. Obviously, you get the opponent you get in the situation that you get. So probably this would have been a very different game without their injuries. But that said, as I said before, this is a game that means a lot to the fan base because of who it is. So injuries or not, like, you feel super energized to get another regular season win against this team and hopefully not have to see them again because, you know, it hasn't gone so well. But I also think it's just super important for the team to keep building because we know that they haven't played up to their potential so far. And this is the game where they've gotten the closest to what we think they can be against a really talented team still. So it definitely feels like progress moving forward in the direction of getting this team in January to be as dangerous as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked, you know, after the bye about how this is a Packers team that plays historically well leading up to the playoffs. Matt LaFleur is a really good streak in November and December. His teams have a beyond winning record, you know, after the bye and making that postseason push. And then we saw them come out in Soldier Field and kind of felt like they stole one. Like, it just was not a really good performance from them in any of their phases, two games without any interceptions or any turnovers. And then we see them put up at Lambeau Field the most points in a game this season, 5 touchdowns, red zone efficiency. They were 5 for 5. They're back forcing turnovers after a two-game streak. McManus hit a 51-yarder. So just kind of all the things that you'd want to see from this team. Really nice bounce back going into a really short week against the talented Dolphins team.
Yeah, and it felt like the thing that was on everybody's mind through the bye week was the red zone efficiency and how uncharacteristic it is for what we've seen with prior versions of the team. And also just, it seemed like a problem that should be fixable. Yeah. Had this conversation on Blue Sky with Dusty Evely, like, if you were going to look at the two things on this team you most want them to fix on offense, it's the red zone efficiency. On defense, it's the pass rush. But the pass rush is probably the harder of the two to change in season. So the best path forward for this team is returning to a more efficient red zone offense because they've been putting up a lot of offense all year. It's just, you know, kind of stuttering at the end. And if they can do that, that will carry them a long way, especially knowing there's teams, the Lions come to mind, you don't beat them unless you can win shootouts because no defense can truly stop them. So if you can get an offense scoring 30 weekly, that will take you a long way. And so it was really good to see kind of returning to that like muscle memory of efficiency and getting a lot of different guys involved.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw, as silly as it sounds to say, the Packers left points out there. We saw the Christian Watson drop that felt like it would have been a sure touchdown. just, you know, poor Romeo Doubs getting hurt. You know, he's probably not back on a short week with a concussion on Thanksgiving, but it was nice to see Jordan Love play a turnover-free game, surprisingly his first of the season. Like, it feels weird to say that, but I put this out on Blue Sky, and I don't think everybody fully agreed with me, but it feels like, you know, the further removed we get from injury, he just looks so much more comfortable and confident, and he's more mobile, and he can step into his throws, and he might not be 100% healthy, but if he's at 90 or 95%, it's a hell of a lot better than we've seen from him. And that's going to carry him a long way now too, to finally, I think, get to play more worry-free. And, you know, three touchdowns on, you know, rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns, just really balanced execution from Matt LaFleur too, which was nice to see.
Yeah, one of the things I almost posted on Blue Sky this morning, which I wish I had, because then I look smarter now, is one of the things I was looking for today was to see if they could get Tucker Kraft involved again. Because from mid-September to mid-October, that was a huge benefit to the team. And the last couple games have been a little bit more quiet. So not that he hasn't been useful, just not catching passes like he had been earlier. So that touchdown was very welcome to see. And I just think it just felt like a lot of like little things that were going wrong in the past. Everything was just like a check mark on offense today. And so that's really important. And even if the Niners are an injured team, like, you just need to sort of build that confidence, build that repetition, and then you can carry it forward with you. And the next game is going to be a tough one. So they're definitely going to need it.
Yeah, and I think we've seen, you know, in previous iterations of previous Packers teams where the Packers have underperformed. You know, they kind of played down to the level of opponent that they were playing. And, you know, on the flip side of that is they play up really nicely to some of their opponents as well. So they won games arguably that they shouldn't have won last season, or, but, you know, they lost games that they should have won. So I think seeing them come into this game and just dominate in all three phases. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, because I was watching with some friends and they tend to be, you know, worriers. So when it was like 17-7, they're like, oh, they're going to blow it. And you're on Blue Sky, right? You're on Twitter. Yeah. Like, you know that this is the fan base, and it's the fear because we've seen it happen. But this was a game that I agree it could have gone that way. But it was nice to see the Packers never take their foot off the gas, because sometimes they get comfortable and they let teams back into games. And it, to me, from the beginning, I was like, okay, you know, they're not going to shut out the Niners. They've got Kittle, they've got McCaffrey. But to see them respond the way they did and just go on a tear and end up 38-10, it never felt like the game was out of hand for me.
Yeah, definitely there was panic in the third quarter online. You know, both how it's gone in general in the past sometimes and against this team in particular. But it was pretty short-lived. Like, they, you know, less than a quarter, and then they started rolling again. And I think that's the difference between being a good team and a great team, because there's very few teams that are just lights out from start to finish, you know, don't stumble at all or hit roadblocks along the way. It's okay, this isn't working. What are we going to do about it? Keeping the confidence, keeping the effort high. And they did that. And the defense started picking up when the offense was dropping, and then the offense came back. So definitely complimentary football, and just a team that seemed to believe and wasn't going to stop trying.
I wish I had the stats in front of me. Perry talked about it a little bit in our preview show, but it's like a night and day difference for this Packers defense when the opposing team is scoring off of a turnover. So, like, if the offense gives up the ball, the defense almost always gives up 3 or 7. But if it comes to the other offense just marching down the field, the defense historically is making stops. And I think we saw some of that today. It was really hard for the Niners to actually get into rhythm and move the ball. And the Packers defense was kind of able to let loose and force some turnovers. And, you know, sometimes the ball bounces the wrong way. And we've seen it happen to Jordan Love this season. I don't think that interception was on Allen at all. Bounced off Debo's hands. But Xavier McKinney made a really nice play, and Quay Walker could have had another one. Like, those are just opportunities, and the Packers defense, we've seen them not capitalize. So it was nice to see them, you know, be on the other side of that and just kind of really command the game in all three phases, because again, we failed to see that for a lot of the season.
Yeah, and especially I think there were a number of players who been much maligned on social media as of late. Quay had some good moments in this game. LVN, Keyshawn Nixon. So, you know, with the, I mean, as injured as the Niners were, there were injuries for the Packers as well. And to see, you know, everybody step up, I think that was really positive. I just think it was a really complete game for them. And that should give everyone confidence that whatever things have not gone right so far, they're correctable.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that Perry and I talked about earlier this week and even in the season is just, you know, you're getting into week 12, week 13, you're going into the home stretch here. And to be talking about like, boy, they need to fix the red zone offense. At some point you start to wonder, like, is that fixable? Like, is this just the identity of this Packers team? The pass rush, I agree with you, is certainly a harder issue to fix. And I was hoping, you know, I thought Trent Williams was going to be out there. So for him to not be out there, I thought maybe we'd see a little bit more production from the pass rush, but really challenging. And again, you know, they were missing Jair, they were missing Edge Cooper, like you said. So certainly without or with injuries in their own right. And the Dolphins offense, again, is a really explosive one coming into Lambeau here on a short week. So hopefully those guys are rested because they've certainly, you know, have the favor of not having to travel. That'll be nice, but another, you know, high powered offense. And then they get the Lions the week after that. So certainly a good time for them to be putting up points the way that we are familiar with them doing.
Yeah. And I think 8-3 is a great spot to be, period. Mm-hmm. But you feel even better about it if you know that you've won that many games not playing your best ball yet. So no one should be pessimistic about where this team is, like, especially when we saw how quickly things turned around last year. We've seen, you know, year after year in the NFL, a lot of the times it's the teams who get hot in November and December and come in playing their best ball at the right time. So to do it with a good record, I, you know, obviously you would like to have a shot at winning the division, but I think more important is they're on track to be in the playoffs and they're getting better every week. So I'm really excited to see what this team can do.
Yeah. And I think, and you know, the other upside to that is that they're getting healthy. And of course, you know, we just said they probably lost Romeo Doubs on a short week, but Jair, it sounds like that he's not a candidate for IR at this point. So they have to think he's coming back soon-ish. Cooper probably just misses this game because it's a short week, but should hopefully be back for the Lions game. And then the Packers are relatively at full strength. You know, from what we've seen a lot of the season, they've been dealing with guys not being available. And I think the secondary is entirely different with Jair out there. I thought they played really, really well today. McKinney had some great opportunities. Javon Bullard, I think, was like tied for team lead in tackles. Thought he played really well, but you can just tell there's a comfort with Jair out there. So credit to Valentine and Stokes, because Valentine, I thought, had some really nice snaps today as well, but they need some other guys back, I think.
Yeah. And you know, that Niners team, like, you know, when George Kittle makes that catch, it's like, for all the injuries, there's still a lot of talent on that side. And it was a really great effort to, in those moments where you have those players making plays, not let it get away from you. Just keep coming back, making those plays. And so I feel really great about where this team is right now.
I agree with you. And I think that, you know, Brian Gutekunst deserves a ton of credit for this as well. And as much as we can talk about, you know, some of his misses, and we don't know who Lucas Van Ness will be yet. You know, we don't know about Quay still at this point, but the free agent period that he had, above all else, you know, his biggest signings continue week after week to make incredible impacts. Josh Jacobs, 3 touchdowns today. Xavier McKinney had the pick. You know, the Packers joked about it earlier on this week on social media, and they said, like, thank you for changing our lives. But it's true. Like, this is a team that they were close last year and we saw it and we were like, well, what do they really need? A safety was the top of the list. And I don't know if running back would have been that on that list, you know, but the production that they've seen from Josh Jacobs is just unmatched. He's what this offense, it feels like, has been missing. And Aaron Jones was special and he still is special, but I don't think any of us could have predicted that Josh Jacobs would have this much success in this offense.
Yeah. To look at Jacobs and Jones, they're kind of apples to oranges as players, mm-hmm. but certainly Josh Jacobs is having an incredible year, and he's also allowing them to play in a different kind of way mm-hmm. than when Aaron Jones was here. And to be able to rely on him in the way that they did today, just snap after snap, just you just knew he was going to keep getting yards. Like, they just like couldn't stop him. And that's definitely what you want to see to keep the offense balanced, to keep the playbook open, to be able to eat clock when you need to. I think I'm not going to remember the numbers now, but somebody tweeted or posted the time of possession going into the second quarter, and it was pretty absurd. And you're just not doing that if you don't have Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, it ended up being 36-23 Packers, but it certainly felt like more than that. I think the first quarter it was like 12 minutes to 3 minutes or something. Like the Packers were sustaining, you know, quite a few drives. And Tim Backus shared the stat on Blue Sky. I know it's circulating everywhere, but this was the first 100 plus yard rusher allowed in the last 55 games for the 49ers. So for Josh Jacobs to have that kind of production, and it was so fun to see him post game talking about like, yeah, I knew this was kind of like a revenge game for them and I wasn't there for the last one, but I wanted to help put my stamp on it. You know, like he seems like such a locker room guy and just a ton of fun to have on the team.
Yeah. And that stat was especially sweet to those of us who lived through the 2019 season and and the way that playoff game was won, to be able to run on them like that. Doesn't make up for what happened, but it's a little bit. We'll take it.
Well, and somebody was in my mentions this morning saying like, well, it doesn't matter if they're without X, Y, and Z because Christian McCaffrey's still going to run for 150. And I think that is, you know, one of the pieces that we're kind of missing when we talk about all the positives that came out of this game, because the Packers were still getting run on quite a bit, winning football games, but allowing like 120-ish yards a week. And that's normally not a recipe for success. So to see McCaffrey had 31 yards, the Niners total had 44 yards, averaged 2.8 yards a carry in this one. Just dominant performance from the defense, and arguably some of it out of necessity. Like, you can't run the ball when you're down three scores. But in the beginning, when things were close, they didn't gash them for really anything and thought they certainly could have.
Yeah. And, you know, something that's been talked about in recent years is the Lambeau Field home advantage in the cold still there? And mm-hmm. I would very much like this to be the beginning. Absolutely, it is. And, you know, again, we can't know what this game would have been like if they had some of their other players, but great teams beat troubled teams and they beat them by a lot. And they did that. So especially after the Bears game where you kind of felt like, that shouldn't have been that close. Like, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to flip the script, right? Because I think we have a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this team. But is there any takeaway from this that maybe gives you pause? Are you, you know, is the arrow straight up? Because I think we agree this is the most complete win of this Packers game, this Packers season, right? Really dominant. No, you're good. Really dominant victory. But like, is there anything that makes you question like, well, I would really still like to see this happen to feel like this team is a true contender? Or are you there? You're just convinced they're a true contender?
No, I'm not there, because as we know, this team had a lot of injuries. I think we're going to learn a lot this next game and the game against the Lions, mm-hmm. because the Lions have been an absolute juggernaut and the Dolphins have been playing very well as of late, and they're a very desperate team. So yeah. I think would still like to see a signature win over a team that's really hot and doing everything else well. And I think that's a good litmus test for them to say, okay, how much have we actually progressed on everything, and what are the areas that we still have left? And also, like you said, like the team's been pretty injured for a while. Like even when guys are in, they've been nursing a bunch of things, and Jair's been out for a while now. So just getting healthy, and in the remaining schedule left, you got a bunch of division games, a couple hard games. It would be great to see, like, really put your foot down. Like, consistency, I guess, is the best way of putting it. Let's let this be the beginning of an every week effort like this.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's what makes the losses so frustrating. We talked about it earlier in the season, right? Lose to the Eagles by 5 points. You have a couple missed opportunities. You lose to the Vikings by 2 points after a number of missed field goals, after being down 3 scores in the beginning of the game. Like, the Lions game was within their grasp, and there's their 3 losses, right? So if you can turn around, you know, at the end of the season and win those games that were really close, that's going to be what puts you over the edge in the playoffs, because those are the kind of teams you're going to see, right? You're not going to see a really banged up 49ers team in the playoffs. You're probably not going to see a Jaguars kind of team in the playoffs. Like, this is, you know, who you're playing is arguably who you could see again. Seattle could be coming up. You know, you could unfortunately draw a division game, which would really suck. I hate division games in the playoffs. But yeah, I think there's some really, really tough matchups still ahead on this Packers schedule. So how they fare in those will answer a lot of questions. But before we wrap this one up, we always like to give out game balls. So I think we kind of alluded to who some of our game balls would be already. But if you have one or two that you want to give out and why, let's do that.
Well, I think for both of us, probably Josh Jacobs is going to be the one that comes to mind. You know, I think I'm going to go ahead and say Jordan Love, because we've seen the ups and downs along, and there were, a couple moments in this game where throws were made that at first you're like, ugh. But I think he's stayed steady, and his confidence is unwavering, and this was definitely a step closer to what we saw of him at the second half of last season. It felt like all year he's kind of been stuck in between the first half of last season and the second half of last season, and you know, the up and down roller coaster. And it felt like this was a step in the right direction. I'm sure his health was better coming into this. He's feeling better. So, but that's the most important thing, because this team can go as far as he takes them. And seeing a version of him that resembles closer what our expectations for this season were, I think it is really helpful. Even if it's not all the way there yet, I think this was good progress.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I agree with you. I would have given him one if you didn't. So I really like that pick. But really, in like kind of quiet stat line for him, which seems silly. He had, you know, like sub 200 yards, but a really clean game, and, you know, just not needing to be the guy, because Josh Jacobs was the guy in this one. So really complimentary football in all the phases of offense, like being able to pick up slack when the run game wasn't as productive, but that wasn't really a huge issue in this one because it was so productive. Xavier McKinney, I think, has to get one, but this might be controversial, I think I would give my other one to Quay Walker. I know he had the drop.
It's not controversial to me.
Okay. I know, you want to see him grab that pick, but we've always kind of questioned his hands, right? He's had moments like that before, and a PBU on the stat sheet is almost as good as a turnover. It's still a deflection, and he led the team in tackles, had 2 tackles for loss, got to see him in the backfield a bit, and we knew he was going to need to have a big game because Cooper was going to be out. And, you know, I know that the inside linebackers have struggled quite a bit, especially in Cooper's absence. So to have him kind of step up in big moments and not get gashed for these, you know, huge Christian McCaffrey runs, I think said a lot about where he's at.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think if you took a poll on social media this week, probably the biggest concern fans would have had is how much they would have to rely on him with Edgerrin mm-hmm. Cooper not playing. And he, you know, he's received his share of criticism, but he made plays that mattered in this game. So you have to commend him doing his job at a moment when the team needed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
You know, it's a short week, so we're on to Miami, and this is a really great win. That's a really hungry, talented team coming in, and with not a lot of time to prepare, with Dobbs isn't going to play, most likely. Probably not Jair, maybe not Edgerrin Cooper. So you're going to need a really big effort again on a short week. So I'm really hoping that this is the beginning of that consistency and showing other good teams that they mean business.
Yeah, we kind of alluded to it after the Bears game, but I had put on Blue Sky, like, this can be momentum if you let it. And, you know, they could have either hung their heads and said, oh man, we played down to another opponent, like, we are just going to get run over. Or you can say, hey, we stole this one and let's build on it. And they came out firing in all cylinders in this one and put up their best game of the season, 38-10, against a team that has had their number. So it felt really nice to give them some back. But thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining me. This was a ton of fun. Please tell the people where they can find you on Blue Sky X, everywhere else. Tell them about your cute dog if you want.
Yeah. So I'm mostly on Blue Sky now. My handle is at JENKTN. I still have a Twitter. I occasionally use it. And if you want to follow my dog, he has an Instagram, which is Lambo the Derp King.
And he is a model, an actual model that is in stores across Canada, which is very cool. He's
in a campaign. It's like kind of like our version of Target. So it's like pretty like surreal to like go in the store and there's like a giant poster of him. But yeah, it's fun.
Do you get to keep one? Like, will they send you one when they're done with it?
I don't know, but I friend gave me the tip that I should just go on like December 26th because it's a holiday and just be like, hey, that's my dog. Can I have this? So
I think you should.
Probably gonna do that. Yeah.
Yeah, Packers Pro Shop. If you need a dog model for any of your Packers gear.
You know what? I have been trying to get that Packers Everywhere account to feature him because they feature dogs all the time, but he hasn't been so lucky. He has been on like the Jumbotron at Lambeau Field a number of times.
He's a celeb. Make sure you follow both Lambeau and Jen, thank you so much. This was a ton of fun. Packers fans, you can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, on Blue Sky at Packs What She Said. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel if you don't already. And if you're listening in the audio formats, everywhere you find your favorite podcasts, please consider supporting the channel if you don't already. And we'll be back really short week. So new episode probably coming Wednesday because the Packers play again on Thursday. And hopefully it's another fun win.
Carry all her victory stories.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show. Jen, thank you so much. And go, Pack, go.